So humans have an ability to adapt to multiple, let's say, social hierarchies. So I can be in one domain, like handle things emotionally, but not be able to handle extreme changes in temperature, whereas other mammals or other animals almost can't adapt to anything. Humans are more adaptable.
Yeah, we are. But that's the thing that's very important to understand, that humans are the reason we're successful is because we are, not adaptable, but we have a broader, we depend from, we can make it through different environments. Thermally, right? And also, it's very important, we are omnivorous. We can eat everything,
right?
And omnivores. And omnivores are rare. It means we can eat like a lion and eat like a cow, you see, and do fine in both cases. And the problem is people don't understand that we are not omnivores by choice. Hence, we need variability in the food supply. And we need some deprivation of some food groups once in a while, because that's how we became omnivores.
Ah, that's the stressor to the system.
Stressor
make us anti-fragile.
Exactly, particularly protein. And I said that if we part lion, part cow, the cow has no randomness in the way it eats, but the lion has more randomness. So you have to have protein less steadily than other food groups.
So I see. So in the areas where you're anti-fragile, you want to encourage variability.
Exactly. So let's put some the structure. We said the fragile doesn't like variation and variability, all right? And we're always fragile with respect to something. The robust doesn't really care, you see. And, of course, the anti-fragile on the right needs variability. And as a matter of fact, it dies if it doesn't have that variability.
So if you just eat protein.
If you just eat protein, you probably would have no kidneys in no time, right? You need we're made for variability among food groups. Mm. If you just eat carbs, you also have a problem. Mm. But the thing is, what people didn't understand when they started following the paleo diet is that to follow our ancestors' methods, to follow our ancestors what they did, you need to match not the food composition so much as the food frequency. Hmm. And I just posted the other day, I was in some airport, and I did the fractal thing about how often we should fast to be consistent with the environment. You should also have the stressor of fasting.
Interesting, because you mentioned briefly in Anti-Fragile, there's no proof that breakfast really gives you energy for
exactly.
The day.
Exactly. This is the most important thing, is to follow the following guidelines, all right? Science is great. It should give us proofs. But if there's a habit that is not part of our tradition and has not been tested for its benefits, then you should be suspicious. And breakfast is one of them. Does a lion eat to hunt, or do you hunt to eat? All right, so you don't need energy visibly, and if you supply yourself too much energy, then you dull your system, and we are a metabolic system. Now, strangely, this idea that I wrote about an anti-fragile, I thought nobody would get it. People have independently, of course, have been doing research on fasting, on if you're keto adapted, that fasting is important, The someone, there have been some few bestsellers on that 7-2 diet after anti-fragile, repeating the exact same ideas. But to do it right, you don't follow a regimen of fasting one day a week, or you see once every 2 weeks. So you need to randomize. In other words, you should fast. If you fast one day every week, you should also fast 3 days every month and a half, and a whole week every 2 years.
I love this idea.
But if you're made for a statistical environment that has variability, like thermal variability or food group variability or frequency of feeding variability, and you don't have that in your life, you are not human. You're becoming something else. Unfortunately, we have too much control of our environment. So we are made just for an environment that has variability, but risk came with variability, because it's the same thing. Just like We had preferences for sugar because it came with nutrition, right? Mm. But, you know, it also comes with heart problems, but, you know, but we need nutrition. But the environment didn't give us the granularity to differentiate between small quantities and large quantities, you see, because we didn't have that chance. The same thing with variability. We could not control our environment. So we disliked variability and randomness. And now we live in an environment where we can control that small randomness, and it's killing us, you see. So you can kill someone literally by feeding them too steadily, and effectively that's how diabetes comes from. And how was the evidence? I read the papers, cited many of them in Antifragile, but many came out later, that effectively all these fasting stuff that have been experimented up to 4 days by Walter Longo, by Batson, by all these people, realize that there are some benefits, but there's also especially a absence of other diseases that come with it, you see. So for example, epileptic seizures for children, we know that you know, drugs are good, but the first, the most effective thing to start with is avoidance of sugar, right? Avoidance of carbs, okay? And another thing is diabetes. Diabetes is the first thing should be to starve someone for a while, to teach, you know, to the stressor and see if, and you can figure out how often they have diabetes, okay, by the frequency of famine. And our, you can back from the disease, you can get the statistical properties of famine and our habitat from that. And this is mathematically very easy to do. Nobody has done it, but I mean, I have a sketch of how it's be done. For example, if you starve yourself for a day once in a while, you have some benefits with asthma, okay. So you know asthma comes from this, okay? It doesn't come from this, but you can make a statistical link, and then you can say, okay, diabetes has this link.
So you're not saying what asthma comes from. You're saying how asthma could be avoided. You're
doing I'm saying that there's a mismatch between us and the environment, okay. You see? And it looks like because we have a spate of diseases that we had to have at least one starvation day every fortnight, you see?
Right.
You have to have a week every year or something. You can back out from the environment how what the shape of that statistical curve should be, you see, with some comfortable precision. So anyway, so to go back to the structure that we have the fragile, the robust, and the antifragile. Right. What makes the antifragile very powerful is that you can measure if something is antifragile from local sensitivity. And that is what is interesting for us. Like, for example, why am I making statements that fasting is good for you, like that stressor of deprivation? You have to have some acceleration of gain locally, just like you have to have some acceleration of harm locally for something to be fragile. And let me explain it, right?
Oh, I can see with fasting you could have both.
But let me go back to the definition of fragile to see how we can go from there, from one to the other, because it's always easier to explain the fragile than the anti-fragile, mostly because our brains are risk-averse, you see. So let me explain the fragile first. The first thing you know when you're short volatility in the markets is that a 10% drop in the market harms you a lot more, okay, than twice a 5% drop, you see. Okay, likewise, if you jump 10 meters, you're harmed a lot more than if you jump than twice if you jump 5 meters. Actually, 10 meters, you'd go, all right? So, and 5 meters, again, in turn, is a lot better, you know, a lot worse once 5 meters than two times the risk of 2.5 meters and so on. And things have to be that way, because if the curve were linear, you see, then you would die just walking. So you have to have, you know, if I smash my car against a wall at 50 kilometers per hour, I'm harmed a lot more than 50 times if I smash it at 1 kilometer per hour, you see. So, and this is the property of everything that has survived. Why? Because things that are linear to harm are already gone. So the fragile, you can detect acceleration. If you have acceleration of harm, you see, if you start having acceleration of harm locally, then you can detect fragility.
So fragility is almost related to almost a survival of the fittest, because we control the environment of our
I'm talking about something technical here, but I'll get to that. In other words, the way fragility has to show acceleration of harm, you see, it has to come with it. You have to have acceleration of harm, some kind of, I call it the concavity argument. Likewise, anti-fragility has to show some acceleration of benefits somewhere. You see, and if you detect that, then you have a local anti-fragility. And maybe I'll give you a MOOC, many MOOC I gave the students, 5 minutes, where I explained that with curves. Why, so, if you have, and let me explain why acceleration of benefits. Mm. Is it better for you to have, for example, if you're convex, to have, when say you have lung ventilator, all right? If it's better for you to have 100% of the dose all the time, or 50% one time, 150% the other time?
Yeah, it would be probably much worse.
No, much better.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. So, and that I mentioned in antifragile, that lung ventilators, people made the mistake of thinking you need steadiness. If you have that convexity effect, which means that 50% one day, 1 minute, 150% the other minute, is a lot better than 100% of the dose all the time, then you're antifragile. And that shows an acceleration on a graph, you see? So it's the same thing with a coffee cup. You want to hit it with intensity of 2 per, say, intensity of 2. You can hit it 100 times intensity of 2, it won't break. But if you half the time intensity of 1, half the time intensity of 3, it would break, you see? Right. So if the linear combination of 2 different numbers is worse, you're fragile. And if the linear combination is better, you're anti-fragile. Let's apply it to feeding, all right? Or to the temperature. Is it better to spend the whole day at 70 degrees for your health, or spend some time at 50 degrees and some time at 90 degrees? Well, obviously, it's better for your health to have that variation. So a linear combination of 50 degrees and 90 degrees is better for your health than just 70 degrees. It means you're anti-fragile. You can keep varying that interval to see up to what point, because visibly we're fragile if you, instead of having 10 degrees variation or 20 degrees variation, you go to 100 degree variation. Yeah, you would die in both cases. So you're fragile when it starts harming you, the interval, and narrowing the interval for the same, keeping the same average.